In southeastern Wisconsin to the low 70s in southeastern Missouri, southern Illinois, and western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high 88. The wind from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low 64. The wind out of the east from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with another chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 87. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Look for a low of 67 and a southwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s and a northwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Saturday night and Sunday, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s and a high Sunday in the mid-70s, and looking out to Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. At noon Central Time, temperatures ranged from the 50s to the upper 80s across Illinois and Indiana. At Rockford, it was 66. O'Hare Airport reported 53 in Springfield and Mattoon, 86, 89 at Carbondale. 68 at South Bend, 73 at Lafayette. Indianapolis reported 84 degrees, and Terre Haute checked in with 86. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour, it was 85 degrees. The sky was partly sunny. The dew point, 66. The relative humidity, 53%. The wind out of the east at 13. The barometric pressure, 30.00, and falling. And at 12:39, 84 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. The sky is partly sunny. More and more people are taking advantage of their area state parks for camping, fishing, and other recreation. In fact, nearly 2 million people a year pass through two state parks along Route 150. Yet the agency charged with running them has seen significant budget cuts in the past decade. In this installment of our Life on Route 150 series, Illinois Public Media's Tom Rogers visited the parks and took a snapshot of their health.
Sometimes the weather just doesn't cooperate with your weekend plans. It's misting at Kickapoo State Park near Danville. Not the kind of start that Lamon Betts Jr. and his camping group would like, especially as they're setting up the tent.
Last time I went camping, I was a Cub Scout. and we didn't sleep outside.
So this will be a new experience, huh?
Yeah. I'm up for the adventure.
The campsite has an electric outlet, and you have a choice of toilets, flush or pit. Reggie Yamet says roughing it is fun, but only to a point.
It's all about electricity and shower. So those are the first
two.
To
make sure, yeah.
Everything else?
And a bathroom.
Everything else is secondary.
It's secondary.
Right.
Like we know,
I guess accommodations.
Yeah.
Campers expect a certain level of upkeep at state parks, too. And Kickapoo Superintendent John Hott has been trying to get the shower building re-roofed before the busy Memorial Day holiday. He won't make it, so Reggie and her group will use a building covered in blue tarp. Hott has a lot of irons in the fire, but short budgets mean fewer maintenance duties, like mowing.
There's some side benefits. There's a little more wildlife habitat within the park that we used to finish mow, which is now maybe mowed once or twice a year with a rough cut mower. Painting, we've backed off a little bit on just that year in, year out general maintenance of our facilities.
Hott may be the boss, but he has only two other full-time workers to maintain and watch over 10,000 acres of parkland with its own sewer and electrical system. He answers the phones, too.
Well, I mean, run it by Kim. I mean, if she's got some extra. So, I mean, that would really help. I'm sure it would help Lambs, because I know we had to scratch dollars from everybody just to pay for
the office once had a clerical staff. Now a central reservation system handles the campground paperwork.
Yeah,
that's one way the Illinois Department of Natural Resources has trimmed expenses. The agency gets just above $50 million from the state budget, but that's less than half as much as in 2001, and nearly half the staff have gone, too. But Hott says Kickapoo is still much better developed than it was a decade ago. It's maintaining that development that's proving to be such a challenge. Volunteers help fill the gaps. Howard and Nancy Gourley are campground hosts. In exchange for a free site rental, they man the front gate, put on weekend movie nights, and are essentially the campground's eyes and ears. Their headquarters is their trailer, more like a cozy apartment. We're in their living room on plush chairs. There's a flat-screen TV parked over an electric fireplace. Howard Gourley says donations help fund some Kickapoo projects, but the state leans on campers for the bulk of user fees.
You can go down to Middle Fork, part of this right here, and you can ride your horses for free. You know, I mean, you can fish in all the lakes for free. And, you know, we have a lot of people do them things, and someplace they got to get some money out of someplace besides just the camping people.
Neighboring states like Indiana and Wisconsin stop motorists at the front gate and charge a fee. DNR Director Mark Miller acknowledges that's an option for Illinois, but there is philosophical resistance.
We can go this route and charge users. We can also understand that the state has an obligation to provide this for its citizens and have free access. And so the challenge is, do we have the user pay principle, or do we have public recreational access?
Charging at the gate would be tough at Kickapoo, with a major county road going through the park, but it would be easier at another park further west along Route 150. Moraine View State Recreation Area in McLean County is more secluded and has a big lake in the middle stocked by the state. Just off a day of walleye fishing are Brian McClure and his friends, ready to head back to Gibson City. They remember when the state budget situation got desperate enough that former Governor Ral Blagojevich suddenly closed Moraine View and tried to close Kickapoo in 2008.
It was upsetting, you know, to take a fishery like this and just close the doors on it and not continue to keep it up. And this close to Bloomington, and, you know, you get a lot of traffic out here. This park can make money if it's properly run.
Making money will continue to be the DNR's main test. Lots of people have ideas. For instance, McClure suggests keeping the concession open longer for fishing business. But in a time when Illinois has to prioritize its funding more than ever, the emotional attachment to the state's public open spaces may transcend the bottom line. I'm Tom Rogers, Illinois Public Media.
You can see a video interview with Kickapoo State Park Director John Hott, pictures from Tom's report, and other stories from Life on Route 150 at willconnect.org. Japan has been struggling with power shortages since the earthquake and tsunami that crippled the Fukushima nuclear power plant. To conserve energy, the government is doing things like making employees in Tokyo start work an hour early. Another ambitious government scheme might lead to a revolution in Japanese office wear. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Tokyo.
Here in Japan's Environment Ministry, the elevators are still talking, but only half of them are working. The corridors are murkily dark, with overhead lights switched off to save electricity. The air conditioning is off, the windows open, both unusual in Japanese offices. The atmosphere in the office is almost preppy. It's full of fresh-faced young people in polo shirts, Crocs, and even the odd Hawaiian shirt. Welcome to the birthplace of super cool biz.
No necktie, okay. No jacket, okay.
Masahiro Sato is the father of super cool biz. He's talking me through the rules of this sartorial revolution. No neckties, no jackets. Yes to polo shirts, yes to Hawaiian shirts. Yes to sandals, but no flip-flops. This, it's hoped, will be the new summer dress code of Japan's salarymen, designed to help the country through this year's power crunch. Masahiro Sato lays out the thinking.
We're limiting air conditioners to 82 degrees to save energy. So we have to loosen up clothing guidelines so people can be more comfy. As a target, we're looking at saving 10% of our office electricity expenditure.
So Koji Nakamura's got the best shirt in the office. It's kind of brown with squares and black and blue and turquoise. He's just pointed out his socks as well. He's wearing bright pink socks.
So before super cool biz, for example, if you wore this shirt to work last year, what would people have said?
Maybe I've got fired.
So he's saying that before now, if you'd worn a Hawaiian shirt to work in a government ministry, you might even have got fired. In fact, nobody really knows because it just wasn't the done thing to do. I've now come to a swanky department store in Ginza, and I want to see whether the Super Cool Biz campaign is really making a dent on the sales of Hawaiian shirts. I've just been talking to a very nice salesman, and he tells me that it is making a difference. More people have been looking at Hawaiian shirts this year, says Ryosaku Noguchi. He's in charge of the special offers on aloha shirts, as they're called here. He's hugely enthusiastic. I'd love to wear that to work, he says, as I wave a particularly bright pink and white flowered Hawaiian shirt at him. I'd prefer it to this, he says, tugging at his necktie. So I'm just wondering how the famously buttoned-up Japanese will respond to the aloha shirt challenge. So I've come to the equivalent of Japan's Congress. I'm just standing outside the House of Representatives, and I want to know what people here think about the whole Super Cool Biz campaign. Consultant Katsuji Kasashima seems horrified at the pink and white flowered shirt and flinches in distaste. I'd just take off my jacket and tie, he says, flashing the label of his fancy Italian suit. We Japanese are better than you people at dealing with heat. It's all propaganda, says internet worker Nao Isamori, ignoring the pink and white flowers altogether. There's not enough electricity, and this just distracts us from the real issues. So, for all its common sense, Super Cool Biz could face an uphill struggle. It was launched at a glitzy fashion show depicting a world where salarymen go to work in skin-tight black pedal pushers. And if that could happen, who knows, maybe the ministry's next energy-saving target could be Japan's ubiquitous heated toilet seats. Louisa Lim, NPR News.
You can see photos of Japanese salarymen and the pink and flowery aloha shirt at npr.org.
Some Native American cultures held places of honor for people of integrated genders. Our next community cinema film, Two Spirits, explores the life and violent death of a boy who was also a girl and the essentially spiritual nature of gender. Join us as we partner with the Up Center of Champaign County for their LGBT Film Festival at the Art Theater Saturday, June 11th to celebrate Gay Pride Month. For the list of films, visit willconnect.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 9th of June, 2011. It's the birthday of the man who wrote, "I Get a Kick Out of You, You're the Top, Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love." Cole Porter, born in Peru, Indiana, 1891.